Hey everyone, this is Cameron from Renegade Animation on renegadepopculture.com. If you like what we do, please give us a like, a follow, and a rating on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to us. Make sure to share out our episodes because we are everywhere. And if you can, consider supporting our Patreon. That way we can keep doing what we love, and that's talking about the world of animation. And now, on with the show.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Renegade Animation on the Renegade Pop Culture Podcast Network. My name is Mike. I'll be your host this evening. Joining me, as always, is the animation guru himself, Cameron.
Howdy, howdy.
And this week, we are talking about a product that we kind of knew was in development for a while, but was announced only within like a few weeks before its release. We are talking about the Peacock original, the movie Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate, and the series Megamind Rules. Before we rip off the band-aid, let's kind of back up to how did we get here?
Well, it was interesting. I was fully ready to do a little episode about saying, while it's still another big US-based animation studio, DreamWorks has had a pretty stellar 2020 until now, and how they are being more adventurous and creative with their risks than someone like Disney or other studios where they're playing it safe and it's either helping them, like Illumination, or hurting them, like Disney. And then, lo and behold, DreamWorks, probably a week out after the release of the trailer for the Wild Robots, they started gutting their entire animation team, both the TV side of things and the movie side of things. This was happening because there were already talks and deals being made that DreamWorks were going to be outsourcing their animation to other studios that weren't in the US. One, because they were trying to lower costs of making animation, which you kind of think they were already doing that with how some of their budgets have been under 100 million, but even with the success of stuff like Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, they still had to lay off people. And over these last 2 weeks, it's been nothing but DreamWorks cutting jobs, letting people go, minimizing teams, trying to pretty much, let's be blunt, get ahead of the curve with the upcoming animation strike. Everyone knows it's coming. Everyone knows it's going to hit hard because if there's something that's going to take a lot longer to get back up and running, it's not the live action stuff, even though they're struggling right now. It's going to be animation since making a show or a movie takes years. And it just doesn't paint a great picture of where animation is right now, especially with all the stories you hear about. Animators are still struggling to find work because none of the studios want to spend the money that goes into producing animation. Or they're being wholly reliant on the IP for the sake of greenlighting things. They want something that people are familiar with, which is probably why, even though it was probably greenlit a few, like a year or two or so before we got the reveals and the trailers and such, DreamWorks was making two different TV series. There was one for Megamind, and the second one was for Abominable, which most people would argue are not their most successful DreamWorks films. Not that they are the worst performing of the bunch, but they were not the most glowingly reviewed franchises, but they were both having like the pendulum swing the other way for them. Like people were coming out of the woodwork saying like, oh, Megamind is actually good. And so was Abominable. And So we got the announcement that Megamind was going to get a direct-to-video TV movie for Peacock, along with the TV series, the same time that Abominable was going to get a TV series as well. We are here with the fact that DreamWorks is gutting its own studio to try to save some money, even though the studios in Montreal and other places are slowly starting to unionize. They want us to trust them with what they're doing is going to be the right decision. But it's really hard to do that when you have a Kung Fu Panda film that, while it's good and is still doing very well at the box office, is not as good as the previous films. You throw Orion in the Dark on Netflix without anyone knowing, and the people who do know are singing its praises. And now we have the Megamind movie and TV series. And listen, it's a miracle that anything in the movie and TV industry, especially in the animation industry, gets done. There are always ups and downs that go all around. Whether it comes out good or bad is wholly up in the air. It really does just come down to luck and you having the right people for the task. And I give kudos to the director of Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate and the two writers who also wrote not only the movie, but also the TV show, that they were able to get something done on the schedule and budget that they were given. This was not going to be a theatrically released animated movie. This was not going to be a vibrant 2D animated series. It was going to be a low budget affair to test the waters, to maybe we'll see something of a Megamind 2 in theaters at a later date. Unfortunately, a lot of it being handled by an outside studio and not the many amazing people who you are firing and are now going to have to rehire because this whole industry, man, it's going to collapse in on itself to try to save a dollar. When making art like this costs money, it's going to cost money and take time. You can't just put it into an algorithm and spew something out.
Nope.
It sucks that this has to happen to a studio full of really talented people who just work the days and weeks to make something for everyone to view. And they have probably some of the most talented character animators in the studio system in the US. It's just a real shame that something like Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate and Megamind Rules do not, in fact, rule. Barring the fact that, listen, these were not made for people like Mike and I. These were made for a younger, new audience, and they were made for a younger viewership. With that said, it still feels like DreamWorks did not actually understand the overall appeal and point as to why the original Megamind worked. And this sucks because I know for a fact that you, Mike, love DreamWorks animation.
Yes, they are out of all the mainstream Hollywood animation studios, DreamWorks is my favorite. Yes, even above Disney. It just kills me to read headline after headline of, oh, we're laying off 600 or 700 people, and oh, we're not doing animation in-house anymore. We're going to outsource to various different vendors. I hate to say it, but it's starting to feel like DreamWorks is, if not already, they're becoming a shell of their former selves.
It's hard to know right now because of all the moving and such. And we know for a fact that one of the people fired from DreamWorks came out and said they were told to try to make the Wild Robot come out 5 or so weeks earlier than what was intendedly its September release date, because they want to get ahead of the unions and the animation strike that's about to happen. And they try to sugarcoat it by saying, because people like the trailer. And listen, it's a fantastic trailer. But that's because I am excited for the movie, not just because of its amazing visual presentation and the visual language that it showed us. It's also the fact that it's a Chris Sanders production. So if they really want to do something with the Wild Robot, they should just delay it. But they don't want to delay it because that means the animators have leverage in the upcoming strike. I'm still excited for the movie. I still want to see the movie. But it's so scummy with how these studios, even after all of the strikes from last year, sounds like they just didn't learn their lesson. It's that SpongeBob line. How many times do we have to tell you this, old man?
Seriously.
Listen, let's just get on with it. I just had to front load this with talking about the current state of DreamWorks because it's heartbreaking, and my support and spirit goes out to all the people who are being affected by this because it sucks. And don't harass them or blame them for the fact that what we're about to talk about did not pan out. You know what? They did their best, and it's sad that it didn't come out as intended. Let's talk about Megamind. This came out in 2010, I think after How to Train Your Dragon. And it came out during a time where superhero media was at its infancy. By this time, we still had like the Spider-Man movies, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, and the slow birth of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. To be a superhero parody was fresh and innovative for the time. To have a supervillain become the superhero, whereas the superhero becomes the supervillain, is a great twist to the formula. It is also probably one of DreamWorks' funniest movies.
Yeah.
And it had a killer cast of Will Ferrell, Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, Tina Fey, David Cross, J.K. Simmons, really good and funny people who very much understood the assignment of make a funny superhero movie. That whole interrogation scene where Will Ferrell is interrogating Tina Fey's character, super funny. And it has some of the best physical comedy of any DreamWorks movie. I love when they're talking about the spider and Tina's character just blows the spider into his face, and then just instantly, Minion just instantly slaps Megamind and steps on him to get rid of the spider. And then the whole frustrating reveal about Metro Man, on top of his great line of like someone saying, "I love you, Metro Man. I love you too, random stranger." And his reveal of why he stopped being a superhero is so funny. I love this movie. It's not my favorite DreamWorks movie. There are still some problems with it, like how this whole movie was trying to flip the formula of superhero movies, but we still get Tina Fey's character, Roxanne, getting captured and still with Megamind getting the girl at the end, which, it was bound to happen, but we weren't at a point where you didn't have to do this. It was probably a studio note to say, hey, give the bad guy the pretty female character.
Probably.
With all of that, and just some killer comedic animation and action sequences, the whole, oh, you're a villain, but you're not a super villain. It's like there's a difference with the whole reveal of presentation was great. And it did well, not particularly well, because at that point, I think DreamWorks released three films that year. I think it was forgot it was Monsters versus Aliens released in the same year as.
That was 2009. In 2010, they released How to Train Your Dragon and Shrek Forever After.
Oof, Shrek Forever After. Sorry. Yeah, obviously they never quite hit the franchise button on it, like How to Train Your Dragon, Madagascar, Kung Fu Panda, and Shrek. Then when we got the announcement that they were going to make more Megamind, it was a little disappointing that, hey, it was going to be a movie pilot for the TV series and the TV series. And DreamWorks' TV stuff is a mixed bag. Not always great, but admirable for what it was able to pull off. I still think Kung Fu Panda and the Dragon Knight is one of the better TV shows based off of a DreamWorks franchise. Though nothing has quite beat She-Ra and Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts in terms of the best DreamWorks series.
I guess their original animated series are probably some of the better ones because they just had more time to develop. You just get more attached to these characters from the ground up. And that's why Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts is my favorite. But specific out of the television adaptations of the films, I know animation-wise it's a downgrade, but the DreamWorks Dragon series Race to the Edge is one of the better ones.
The goal for some of these were to branch out and expand the world that these films live in, even though there's been a constant rivalry of what do the movies do and what do the TV shows do. Because as some people were mad about Dragons 3, The Hidden World, for not incorporating anything from the TV shows, that's because there was a petty rivalry between the two branches of DreamWorks Animation. So it was kind of obvious you weren't going to see a whole lot of official references to the TV show. And here, the biggest problem with Megamind becoming a franchise and how it really isn't the easiest one to franchise is the fact that once you take out the superhero parody angle of the show, it's just another silly superhero show. And it sucks that this show and this movie came out in a year, in a time period in Hollywood and entertainment where there's a flux and a mood of how people are partaking in superhero media. It's not on top of the world anymore. And it's now not the only one to be a superhero parody or a twist on the superhero genre. When we have stuff like Amazon's The Boys and Invincible. So it's not like it couldn't exist in this world, but like in this time period, but it would have to do some extra legwork to stand out. And unfortunately, what they did was take out the superhero parody and really any edge that the original movie had.
They really sanded off the edges of the character and reduced him to like a second-rate Darkwing Duck.
I think they regressed his character. They made him dumber. And it doesn't work when you are absolutely not able to do the very expressive animation for the titular characters and the world around them on a TV budget. Or at the very least, someone at DreamWorks did not give the green light to say, hey, give this property to, I don't know, Flying Bark Productions, like a studio that is known for its expressive animation. And who knows, maybe they tried and they were too busy working on Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. But doing a TV CGI series zaps a lot of the soul of Megamind. Megamind on a TV budget looks terrible. The designs were not meant for a TV budget. And that sucks to say. This could have been a fun and creative movie and a fun and creative show that wasn't reaching for scraps. So what we have with the movie is Megamind having to deal with his old, previously never mentioned supervillain team, the Doom Syndicate. They think he's doing all this superhero work as a ploy. He's trying to be a good guy, but is still a bad guy. And unfortunately, these villains aren't interesting. Now, the one I did like was the weather-based supervillain who still got the weather wrong. That's a good joke. That's like one of the maybe the few jokes that works in this movie and the show. Because, what more of a thankless job can you get in the news than being the weather person? But then you have like a mime with hypnosis powers, which I don't know how that works. A magma monster that's not bright. And I guess a parody of like super edgy villain archetypes with Nighty Knight.
I just realized the pun here. The mime's character is Pierre Pressure.
Oh gosh, darn it. Listen, this voice cast is doing everything in their power to bring the charm and appeal of Megamind to life. Keith Ferguson as Megamind instead of Will Ferrell is doing what he can, but it doesn't help when he's playing a. It sounds like he's a parody of what Will Ferrell sounded like in the movie. It doesn't help with how middling the story is, where it becomes a story of Megamind doesn't respect Chum or was named Minion with one of the other few decent jokes of why he's not called Minion anymore. I think the best casting is Josh Brenner as old Chum, because if you're going to get someone to try to replace David Cross, the next step would be to get Josh Brenner.
He really does do a good job of taking what David Cross did in the original film and kind of making the character his own.
The problem becomes in the fact of how it tries to build up the Megamind universe. It really regresses the progress that made this movie, where, Megamind is more fumbling and foolish and very unlikable at points. And his relationship with Roxanne doesn't quite, it's in a weird spot of they're friends, but they're not friends. But they're jerks to one another, but it doesn't feel like that playfulness, like riffing off of one another. And Roxanne, who was one of the more capable leads of a lot of DreamWorks movies, getting the weakest downgrade. And then we got the addition of Keiko Morita, a Megamind fan and social media influencer, because for some reason, we had to have a social media influencer, which, not that it doesn't work or can't work. I'm sure the boys have done something interesting with social media. And we see one villain in an episode or a pseudo hero character tries to use social media to his advantage, but fails, which seems like a commentary on social media influencers and how fabricated they are. I like Laura Post as Roxanne. I think she was also good casting. Scott Aitsist as Pierre Pressure was fine. Talon Warburton does a good job as trying to be the edgy, dark supervillain with a comedic edge. And Chris Sullivan does his best as doing the big rock monster. But there's none of that spice that made Megamind kick. They do their best. And again, they did what they could on a small budget and small production cycle, but none of it hits. I don't think there were any jokes that landed outside of the two or three that worked.
Every once in a while, I would kind of chuckle at something mildly amusing, but on the whole, the humor just isn't there.
And then what we get with the movie is just Chum and Megamind having to reconcile and be friends again. That lead to the TV show where we get the overarching villain of the show in the franchise, Machiavellian, voiced by Adam Lambert. And to his credit, Adam Lambert does a lot to make Machiavellian entertaining. And he's also the one behind the musical theme for the show. He's probably the most entertaining performance of the overall cast,
I would agree with that.
outside of maybe Josh Brenner. But man, these episodes are just vapid. There's nothing all that entertaining about them when the show is not able to be grand and fun in scale. Or they introduce things that were never a thing in the original movie, like Megamind having a mentor. That just pops out of nowhere because that was never mentioned in the movie. And I don't need everything to be mentioned in the movie, but it would make the last two episodes have more impact with the villains leaving a bigger impression. And I was honestly very bored. Again, a show that's not made for Mike and I, but I think even kids would find this show boring.
Probably.
At least with something like Teen Titans Go, there's a manic, mean-spirited energy to its dark comedy that makes it work, that is still constantly and consistently funny. It's amazing how much that show is still able to go on, and the chaos that it brings with it is still highly amusing. It's a really dull show, like something that could have been amazing and entertaining, but was obviously not given the time and day to be more interesting, to focus on the superhero parody stuff, because all we get is just a mediocre comedy. And a mediocre comedy is arguably tougher to sit through than like a bad action movie and a bad horror movie, because when you're reliant on the jokes and the jokes don't land, there's not much else there for folks to latch onto.
Here's an example of how badly they fumbled in terms of even trying to do some superhero parody. There's an episode where Megamind accidentally creates a supervillain when Mr. Donut, voiced by Tony Hale, is accidentally knocked into a vat of glaze. Megamind gets him out. He misunderstands when Mr. Donut says, "I'll pay you back for this." Thinks this is like the beginning of his supervillain origin story, and things kind of go off the rails from there. With better writing, that would have been one of the standout episodes. Instead, it's just kind of mildly amusing at best.
It should have been funnier, especially when you have someone like Tony Hale.
Exactly.
They have like other villains like the Go Fish Gang, which aren't all that funny. Or what else is there? There's just not a whole lot to it than just it's not funny, it's not entertaining. They have ideas like a killer cockroach uprising could have been funny, but then it wasn't, while also trying to have like an overarching plot of what Machiavellian is trying to do. I don't know why they don't do this. The movies that have more expressive animation from DreamWorks' catalog don't get the 2D treatments. That's why the Boss Baby looks so bad on a TV budget. That's why Megamind looks so bad on a TV budget.
Oddly enough, Turbo and the Croods had the right idea to do animated shows in 2D animation.
Yeah, unfortunately, the second Crude series went CGI. I don't know why they can't do that for all of their series, because they also let the Trolls have a 2D series. Why not just let 2D studios handle some of this, like Studio Mir or one of its subsidiaries do like Kung Fu Panda or something? Like have a team in US set up everything and then have Studio Mir help out with stuff like action scenes or comedy or like the timing and such. It's a show that has a lot of lost potential that's absolutely wasted on middling humor, forgettable characters, and honestly, I feel like a very big misunderstanding on why people like Megamind. And then his last two episodes happen where Machiavellian gets his body back and actually puts Megamind through the grinder and stress of trying to save the city when Machiavellian's overall plan was to make Megamind look like the villain because of all the chaos and destruction that unfolded. That's great. That's very strategic. It makes Machiavellian a little bit more of a endearing and memorable villain, even though he's still fine. He's not great. He's like that villain from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, directed Disney sequel.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Like, he was not a great villain, but his constant threats to the love interest to Quasimodo put him above other direct-to-video villains of that time period. And that's what I get with Machiavellian. Almost there. An almost super interesting and compelling villain that is underutilized because of shoddy and writing. And then at the very end, when everything seems to be at the lowest for Megamind to be at, they reintroduce a character that could help them with Metro Man, who was in the movie voiced by Brad Pitt. But then the show ends. It's an 8-episode waste of time. And that's not because I like more story-driven stuff. It just feels like right when the show was about to get interesting, it ends.
Yep. And who knows what exactly the production order was for this show. We don't know if it was just these 8 episodes and they were just hoping to get another batch, or like most modern animated series in the West, they will split one season in half and then call each half a season.
Exactly. I mean, we know it's probably going to happen, that there's going to be a second season. They probably front-loaded an order of like a ton of episodes, signed it off as a season one deal, and are now going to say it's season 2 and 3 and 4 or whatever. It's a little interesting that the Doom Syndicate concept was actually used for the video game Megamind Ultimate Showdown. And some characters were from early concepts of the movie, from if you looked at the art of Megamind, with Behemoth and Lady Doppler were going to be part of the movie, were scrapped, and then were reused here, which that's not a good sign that you're rehashing designs for this. It's like when a band has a really good first album, and then with their second album, they front-loaded with songs that were not good enough for the first album. You know, that happened with, like, Hootie and the Blowfish and, oh, what was it? The Spin Doctors and such, where they're like, oh, yeah, the second album's going to have songs that we didn't include into the first one because they weren't good enough.
And then you wonder why they end up with a sophomore slump.
And this is that sophomore slump for Megamind. Like, we could have had a fun superhero action comedy parody on the big screen. This could have had like the Puss in Boots The Last Wish treatment, and it's not like that would be such a drastic shift for the franchise, for the property, because Megamind already had good comedic animation. You just built upon it. And I know some people have been like, man, we have multiple Despicable Me films, but only one Megamind. And at least Despicable Me had more flexibility with what it was doing with its world. Megamind had a more concise parody element to it that you really had to either build upon or work around the fact that you weren't going to be just a superhero parody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get that they did what they could, and I'm sorry that it didn't pan out and that everyone is just roasting them for this, because probably by this point, the people who made it are now out of a job, because DreamWorks is the worst right now. All their success is going to dry up when they can't make movies, when they don't have the talent to craft the experiences. Megamind wasn't good because it was a DreamWorks movie. Megamind was good because of the talented people that crafted the first movie. The directors, the animators, the visual effects artists, the storyboard people. And yet they're now going to be no longer there because DreamWorks wants to save a couple dollars. It is so frustrating, and I hate that Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate and the TV show are going to be the punching bag for this situation.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to make excuses for why these things turned out the way they did. We have to criticize what we've seen, and what we've seen is not good, but everything about the current state of DreamWorks is not good. And I wish the entire entertainment industry was in a better state than it is right now.
Well, that's what happens when you put financial people in charge of a studio. You can make $500 million and you'd still get kicked to the curb because they still need to save money. This was always the thing with companies like Activision Blizzard. They would have to fire a bunch of people to make their quarterly reports look good. And then they're like, oh, shoot, we gotta hire back people to make games so we can make more money. And it's just like, you wouldn't have to do that if you didn't fire them in the first place and chase profit. Greed is going to kill these studios, these places that have a bunch of talented folks working at them who are no longer there to make art or just like art that's worth discussing here. Because after this, I have no urge to go back to Megamind. I'll go back to the first movie, but I'm never touching that TV show or that direct-to-video film again. And that sucks for the people that worked on it because they were told to make a show on the cheap so they didn't have to spend money on it. And instead of having people in charge of the studios that actually like movies, who love animation, we get people who are interested in the bottom line. God, it is maddening. And I'm not mad at the people who made Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate in the series. That's whatever. They did what they could. I'm mad at the people up top who are running a studio like this with a huge legacy into the ground because they have to make quarterly reports look good. Because they made a few mistakes and lost some money that, and they chased the dragon of constant profit growth, which is never going to be a thing. You
Nope.
should not do that. There's a reason why some studios don't have to worry about this. Some companies don't, they budget properly. And it's just like, well, gee, DreamWorks, and back in like when Jeffrey Katzenberg was in charge, maybe putting out three movies in a year wasn't such a good idea. And then having half the budget be taken up by high-paid celebrities isn't a good investment either. It's like that whole, the supposed interview with the Kung Fu Panda 4 co-director. It's like, oh, we could have brought back the Furious 5, but Angelina Jolie would have cost $20 million to bring her back. And it's just like, I'm all for celebrities knowing their worth, like actors knowing who they are and how much they are part of the heart and soul of the production and creative process. But don't try to sugarcoat it by saying, oh, we didn't know what to do with them or something like that. It's, man, it's just DreamWorks onto something recently. It seemed like they were on a track to keep going strong. And who knows now? I don't know.
It's frustrating because, like, I don't want to say that success of Puss in Boots: The Last Wish felt too good to be true, but look where we are now.
We're in a changing moment in history of how entertainment is made. We are constantly at battle with studios wanting to save money and use garbage like ChatGPT and AI to try to save a few dollars when that's only going to cause more work to be done. And the guilds are not fully protecting their people at hand because they are now letting companies like ChatGPT or whatever slide into the conversation because they left some little loophole and compromise to be there. Fire the people on top. If you're able to make a movie on a small budget of $85 million, and that movie so far has made $500 to $600 million, and you still have to let go of people, something's not adding up, and it's not the people making the film's fault. It's someone on top, and whoever is in charge of DreamWorks, or maybe Universal as a whole, needs to be held responsible and kicked out. I mean, like, Disney's going through this right now where big names are trying to fight for Bob Iger, which, listen, I don't like Iger, but the other people coming out of the woodwork that are trying to be the new replacements at Disney for certain branches, it's like, freaking yikes. I don't know. I want this industry to survive. I want it to be revived. I want it to be like this big, beautiful phoenix rising from the ashes. But it seems like right now, that's not going to be. I know people are going to say, hey, this is just a shift. Things will get better.
I hope so.
But right now, things aren't good right now. And that sucks. And if you're already in a cozy position where you're not going to get fired, the mixed response of that. It's just like, yes, things will get better. But right now, Hollywood is running itself into the ground because of profit. I didn't like Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate. It's probably the weakest animated film of the year so far, barring the fact that it is a direct-to-video movie. Megamind Rules does not rule. It's a very mediocre take on the property that could have been great. I'm so done.
I echo what you said. Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate definitely fall to the bottom of the list. Again, with all the asterisks, like, don't harass the director or the cast or anyone involved. They did the best with what little resources they had, but it still results in a movie I will not be revisiting anytime soon. And the series, yeah, the series is just kind of whatever.
Execs are ruining everything. Stop ruining everything. So if you, for some reason, like Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate, perfectly okay. It's fine if you do. Don't harass the people who are genuinely enjoying the movie or the show. It just represents a faulty part of what DreamWorks represents. When they are able to be great, they are great. But when they are not, they really stumble. And unfortunately, it's because of the higher-ups running the thing is why they are stumbling right now. So hopefully we can not do another fully negative episode, because I don't like doing negative episodes. I don't have the energy now to be more chipper. If next time we will talk about Iwaju, and after that we'll talk about some other shows like Invincible and something else, because April has nothing. No animated films. We are going to have to wait until May for a new animated feature. If you are going to support animation in April, support whatever comes out, and go see Chicken for Linda, which comes out on April 5th. So
yes,
stay tuned.
Until then, Cameron, where can everyone find you online?
You can find me in a better mood on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Cam's Eye View. I have a website called camseyeview.biz where I review animated films and shows from around the world. And it's called The Other Side of Animation. I also have a Patreon at patreon.com/camseyeview. That's where you can find me.
And you guys can find me on various social media sites at CaptainK42. You can check out my quick thoughts on letterboxd.com/CoachK42. And you can follow Renegade Pop Culture on Facebook and that place at Ren Pop Culture. You can also find us on YouTube, on Podchaser, Consider supporting our Patreon at patreon.com/renegadepopculture. Listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. And last but not least, everything can be found at renegadepopculture.com. You need escape? So do we. That'll do it for this episode of Renegade Animation. We will catch you guys later.